Welcome to the Rogue Apostle Show. I'm James.
I'm John.
I'm Amanda Lynn Deal.
And I'm Faith.
Guys, I was just having an intense conversation about something that I hold close to my heart. And I thought, you know what? I should bring this to the radio. And the nature of that conversation was all-time favorite gaming consoles. We're talking about Atari. We're talking about Nintendo. We're talking about Super Nintendo, N64, PlayStation, Xbox, GameCube. We're talking about Game Boy. You know, we're talking about all the hits. Sega Genesis. Sega. That's what we're talking about. And I want some reasons why. I want, you know, what these things mean to you. You know, for me, it was one birthday where I, you know, kind of messed up and my mom said, "You're not getting a birthday present." But then, boom, pops out with an N64. An N64, one of the first gaming systems to have four players play at one time. For me, the creme de la creme. How are you feeling about it, Amanda?
I remember when I was a kid, in like the mid to late 90s, my dad got it online, like eBay or one of those like first buy used things online websites. And it was the old school Nintendo where you had to blow in the games to get them to work. Paper Boy and like the, I can't remember the name of it now, but like the boxing game and stuff.
Mike Tyson's Punch Out.
Yeah, it was like has to be Punch Out.
So I loved that because I'm kind of a button masher. As soon as like Xbox and like PlayStation, you know, numbers came out, where you had to like trigger, click, pull. Right, it's too many buttons. It's a lot. A, B, start, select, arrows. That's all I need, and I'm not even that good. I just kind of flail around, and that's fun for me.
All right, Faith.
So we were Sega Genesis kids and we were playing Mortal Kombat. Obviously, my sister is about a year and a half younger than me, so we're pretty close in age. And I don't think my mom understood what Mortal Kombat was when she agreed to get it for us. I mean, it's nothing like it is now, you know, but it was on Sega Genesis, so it was all pixelated or whatever. But Earthworm Jim on Sega Genesis. Wow. I don't know if any of you guys got in on that.
Oh my God, yes.
But I would say like nothing beats when Pokemon came out on Game Boy Color. Like absolutely unbeatable.
Oh yeah. Game changer right there. I mean, I just changed a whole culture. John?
Well, you know, here's the deal. I'm the original Gen Xer. So I have a very much of a love-hate relationship with the Atari 2600, that first gaming console that got really popular. And the reason for that is because that was the time where they still had, I mean, that was the heyday of the arcade, right? Where you could go and you could, you know, play stand-up Pac-Man or Galaga or what have you. And then you went home and you could play Pac-Man on your Atari, but it was totally different. It was, and of course it wasn't the same, but you could play it for however many times you wanted to, and you didn't have to have that row of quarters up on top of the game console at the arcade, you know, so.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. But I would say for me, the first, you know, my parents got that one for me, but the first one I ever bought for myself was a Sega Genesis. And so that still holds a special place for me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Can we talk about how iconic some of these video game songs or theme songs were? I mean, everybody could tell you what Super Mario Brothers, you know, that soundtrack sounds like, but I think one of the most underrated soundtracks has to be Sonic the Hedgehog and Sonic the Hedgehog 2. I think that is just so recognizable. If I hear it anywhere, I know.
Playing in my head right now as you're talking about it. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
Haven't thought about that in years.
Right? Does anybody have like that video game song that like if you hear it, you just, you know, you could hear from across the room and know exactly what it is? Amanda?
Yes, back to the old school video games, the Super Mario Brothers, the song You go under the pipes and it's like doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Yeah.
Especially because my dad played bass, so he like learned to play on the bass. So, and I tried to like learn how to play it. So it's just like that tune over and over again.
Yeah.
Super iconic, Faith? Actually. Yeah, Sonic the Hedgehog. I mean, like we were talking about Mortal Kombat. A good friend of mine is a Street Fighter player, and he'll hear like Street Fighter themes, like places like that I would have not have recognized it. And he's like, oh my God, this is the theme for that one guy. And I'm like, how do you keep track of all of them? I don't know, but that's like so many like amazing iconic songs that like some people remember and some people don't. But like, as soon as you said Sonic the Hedgehog, I was just like, like I could hear it. I could hear it in the back of my head. It was wild.
Oh my goodness. John, you got to have something for me.
Well, I got a couple of things. So obviously I played untold hours of Donkey Kong. So every time you jump over a barrel or something, I got that one in my head. But also too, is like kind of the flip side of that is that, of course, when I was growing up in the early 80s or whatever, the band Journey was huge, and they had a video game that I played quite a bit. I mean, this kind of a simplistic kind of a game, but during each of the different segments, it played a pixelated type of or an 8-bit version of their songs, right? So now every time I hear a Journey song coming out, I think of that game.
Oh, yeah. You know, they had some definite hits when it comes to those. But you know, I gotta say, there's some games, the soundtracks. I mean, some of these games came from movies, and the soundtracks I just felt like were just a little too much. And my mom got me a game. Again, this is for Sega Genesis at the time. Does anyone remember the Nightmare on Elm Street for Sega Genesis? That soundtrack was so scary. I never played that game at night. I never played it at night. I always played it in the brightest room of the house. And then even still, I would turn it off. Did anybody have a game they just did not like at all? Right. Amanda?
Oh, I don't know. I would try all of them. I don't know if I have any that like specifically makes me angry. I guess like the Crash Bandicoot races, because I always would get just so I still like it. I'll play it. But you, depending on the person, I'll be like, no, I'm not racing you.
Faith?
I feel like Sega Genesis was like a console that had a lot of movie games, like games that came out after movies, and we had Alien, and I just remember being so freaked out by that game. I couldn't play it. Like if it got even a little bit too scary, I was like, nope, and it's just like it was done.
Oh yeah, absolutely. John?
Well, it's funny. I don't know if I have any games that I didn't want to play because of the music or whatever, but definitely one of the games I really didn't like was, and it was a really popular one, was called Pitfall, and only because it was one of those Atari games that always got faster, and you were never going to complete the game because it would always just get continually faster to the point where you couldn't keep up. So
yeah absolutely. All right, folks, you're listening to the Rogue Apostle Show. I'm James.
I'm John.
I'm Amanda Lynn Deal.
And I'm Faith.
And we'll be right back.
Community Radio Like This is brought to you by the generous support by our founding sponsors at Adco Commercial Printing and Graphics, Clark County's local print shop since 1993. Adco features stationery, posters, flyers, tickets, business cards, stickers, catalogs, and much more. Print on anything and mail anywhere. Learn more at adco1.com. That's ADCO1.com.
A big welcome and many thanks to KXRW's newest gold sponsor, Fusion CBD. Fusion CBD is a supplier of full-spectrum CBD. They offer CBD products to help you stay calm, balanced, and focused. All Fusion CBD products are derived from the whole plant that include gummies, tinctures, topicals, teas, mints, award-winning smokable flower, and pet products. Fusion CBD hemp is grown locally, and products range from 500 to 3,000 milligrams of total cannabinoids. To order products, visit FusionCBD.com or stop by the store on Highway 99 in Vancouver.
Welcome back to the Rogue Apostle Show. I'm James.
I'm John.
I'm Amanda Lynn Deal.
And I'm Faith.
Folks, we got summer coming like right around the corner, you know, and we've got summer weather that's already here. Some of these days we're looking at, you know, 75, 80 degrees outside and, you know, starting to hear the ice cream trucks coming around a little bit more. And it got me to thinking about, you know, favorite ice cream treats. And so, you know, I put some stuff online and got some feedback and, you know, I have some favorites, you know, I have some not so favorites. I think that, you know, it goes with brands and then it just goes with specific things. And I just want to throw something out there. I mean, I feel like Otter Pops are still probably my favorite childhood treats, even though, you know, you're cutting the corners of your mouth on the plastic. And so I was, you know, it's something about the fruit punch, the flavor of fruit punch and blood in your mouth that just brings you back to your childhood. And so I was just thinking, what are some of you guys' favorite ice cream brands and or ice cream treats? Amanda?
I've always liked the Flintstones, like Push Pops. Those are delicious.
Oh, man. Hell yeah.
So many memories of like my grandma's house in the desert in California, like in the hot tub, eating a million of those. And just like the toilet paper roll tube that's left behind with the plastic plunger.
That always like sogs out before you're done. Oh,
so good. Faith?
I'm 100% Choco Tacos. Like there is none other. I have eyes only for Choco Taco when the ice cream truck comes around. Like it, I could eat like 10 of them easily just without even thinking about it.
Oh, wow. John?
Well, you know, it's one of those things where it's like ice cream sandwiches. I could eat a box of them, not even thinking about it. But specifically, wow. Not just ice cream sandwiches, though. They have to be the Neapolitans. And
yeah.
I have to be very specific on eating the chocolate first. And that's eating the strawberry in first, you know, so I gotta start with the chocolate, work through the vanilla, and then get down to the strawberry. And if I accidentally do it the other way, I it just throws my day off.
Besides yourself.
I was like, what the heck?
You know, some of these ice cream, actually, let's see how you guys feel about some of those. But, you know, some of these things are really, really popular. I mean, they have like a cult following, and I never knew this, but... You know, outside of just ice cream, you know, there's a really cult following behind things like gelato or frozen yogurt. Are you guys fans of gelato or frozen yogurt?
Gelato is the most decadent ice cream ever, so it feels even naughtier. That is super good. There's like it's like a clear plastic pint that they sell at the grocery store with a black lid, and it'll be like layered.
Yes, Talenti's.
Yeah, and their sorbet is out of control. The mango and raspberry are delicious. I love sorbets too, just like the fruit puree, frozen, delicious. And then they have all the dairy ones too, where it's like chocolate and fudge and crunch and all sorts of like magic you can see in the container. So yes, those are quite delicious.
Faith, how do you feel about gelato or frozen yogurt?
You know, I have a huge soft spot for. I'm like drooling right now. I have a huge soft spot for frozen yogurt. Like the places there was like a grip of places that opened up that were like frozen yogurt spots where you like pay by the weight of it or whatever.
Oh yeah.
And I that is like my ultimate, like if Choco Tacos aren't available, but there's a frozen yogurt place nearby, like I'm all over it. I love frozen yogurt. I love specifically vanilla chocolate swirl frozen yogurt.
Okay. John?
Okay. So to go with the gelato, when I was stationed over in Germany, there was this little town that was near the base there. And there was an old Italian guy that actually had a gelato shop down there.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And it was just to die for. So I absolutely agree with that. That talk about your decadence and that. But as far as like frozen yogurt, you know, I'm the guy that would go to Sweet Tomatoes, have a little bit of salad, little bit of, you know, spaghetti or whatever side dish they had there, and then just fill up on the free frozen yogurt that you got.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, well, yeah, you know, I just go into town on it.
Oh man, let me tell you something. I am a big, like we talked about Talenti gelato, but if you go to Chuck's Produce and you go to their gelato stand, I tell you, I'm just telling you, it's probably some of the best gelato you've ever had. They've got this one, it's like chocolate chip shavings or something in there, and you just fall apart. One spoon and you just fall apart. It is absolutely amazing. Now, let's talk about some of these ice cream.
Where's this one at? I need to go now.
Yeah. Well,
we gotta end the show, guys.
Oh yeah, this show is over. We gotta go. No. So, let's talk about some of these iconic ice cream pops that people just love. And you know, let's talk about like the drumstick. Anybody a fan of the drumstick?
Oh yeah.
Anyone a fan of the SpongeBob ice cream pop?
Yeah.
Or the
that never looked like SpongeBob.
Never looked like him.
Or always was like SpongeBob is crying. That
one eyeball's like rolling out.
Yeah.
What about the bomb pop? That's strange because some people know this as the bomb pop or the firecracker, and typically it's the one that's the red, white, and blue. Anyone know about that?
Yeah, I always heard them called Rocket Pops or something similar.
Oh, okay. Now this one's not. These ones are not big fans, but the fans that they have, they really love them. The Fudgesicle. Anybody a big fan of the Fudgesicle?
Yes, my grandpa loved those, and the sugar free ones are really delicious, and that was his favorite. So I'd always have a Fudgesicle with my grandpa.
Oh yeah.
Do love a Fudgesicle.
Yeah, loving Fudgesicles.
Yeah, when my sister was pregnant, we had a big jumbo box of Fudgesicles in the freezer, like at all times. Or else, like they're perfect, like little sweet treats.
John, what do you feel about orange creamsicles?
That is so funny that you said that because I was like going to go, okay, y'all can have your fudgesicles because that was what my grandfather and I went to go get. Whenever he'd come over to visit, we'd walk down to the local drugstore or whatever, and we would get the orange cream pops. Sit there and walk home, each of us having one. So it was like it was a great experience. And of course, you know, you can't beat the flavor.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Iconic flavor. Absolutely.
Yeah. A lot of people do your floats, but I feel like if you get vanilla ice cream and orange soda, you can create like a creamsicle float, and that is way better.
Oh yeah. Also
really popular, like alcoholic drinks, you know, as bartenders. Oh, yeah. People are always like, do you have vanilla vodka? Can you make me an orange creamsicle? Mm-hmm. And it's everywhere.
Yep.
Oh, wow. How do you guys feeling about Dippin' Dots?
I love Dippin' Dots. They were such a like magical, weird, futuristic ice cream when I was a kid. Like they don't melt and you like wipe the beads off you and they're just, I don't know. I thought they were the coolest thing in the world and you can't really find them, but there's a gas station by my house that has them. Every once in a while, I'll find that freezer and I'm like, okay, it's time and I'll grab some.
Faith, how do you feel about Dippin' Dots?
I never got on the Dippin' Dots train. I just couldn't do it. I think I had like, I tried them once and I was like, nope. Like something about the texture. I just like couldn't finish the spoonful.
John, how do you feel about Dippin' Dots?
Yeah, they're too much work. I want something I can just like, you know, take a big chunk and just stick it in my mouth and go to town. They're work.
Oh my goodness. I took my daughter.
They're not good, but they're fun.
The reason I feel like the reason I don't like them is the exact reason that everybody else likes them. So like I get goodness. It. You know what I mean? Like the texture is fun.
All right, folks, you listen to the Rogue Apostle Show. I'm James.
I'm John.
I'm Amanda Lynn Deal.
And I'm Faith.
And we'll be right back.
Big thank you to Craft Cannabis, formerly known as New Vansterdam, for supporting our radio community. Craft Cannabis now has two locations here in Vancouver. Both locations offer online ordering and curbside pickup. The Mill Plain location has an express window that serves as a contactless option to pick up your cannabis products. The newest shop is located on Andreessen Road, off Patton Parkway, next to the Home Depot, across from Costco. Both locations are open daily, 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. More information available at craftcannabis.com.
Welcome back to the Rogue Apostle Show. I'm James.
I'm John.
I'm Amanda Lynn Deal.
And I'm Faith.
folks, we're going to have a bunch of people out here, you know, during the summer. We're going to have a lot of cookouts, a lot of barbecues and stuff. And, you know, one of the things that we see people doing is putting out, you know, the hamburgers, the hot dogs, but also, you know, watching people do steaks. And I'm starting to learn that they, you know, there's kind of a uniform way to kind of do it. But then, you know, people like to do stuff with flair and stuff like that. And I was just wondering, you know, what your favorite types of steaks are and what's your favorite, you know, temperature to cook them? Like, do you like them rare? Do you like them well done? You know, what do you like on your steak? Amanda?
I like doing steak medium rare. I like it to be, honestly, the best one is like a super expensive cut of meat. Maybe like a filet mignon wrapped in bacon. That's a tough one because you want the steak medium rare, but you don't want the bacon all floppy. So you got to kind of like roll it on its sides to crisp the bacon.
Okay.
You're the other side. That's what I try and do. And it comes out delicious. And it's, yeah. Ugh, that's my fave.
Okay. Faith?
I mean, okay. So I want my steak to be as rare as it can be in the middle while still being safe to eat. That being said, there is a caramelization process that happens with steak where you do have to leave it on the grill for a little bit of time in order to get the natural sugars caramelized on the surface of the steak. That's kind of what gives you that beautiful brown crust on the outside. I think that's really important. So, I mean, probably rare to medium rare, like a true rare. On my steak. But I mean, like I would, if I could have tartare every day, I would. Like I am a person.
Oh my gosh. John?
I don't know. It sounds like Faith still wants her steak to be mooing.
That's what I'm saying. But you know, I'm away. Go ahead, John.
Well, you know, I mean, I like a good steak, medium rare, you know, and I think medium rare for me across all the different cuts and everything is good. I like to have it a little bit of flavor. I don't like it to be bland, you know, kind of like Keanu Reeves movie careers. But,
violence. The violence. Okay. All right. Go ahead, John. Finish, please.
Oh, we're going to have to tell our listeners what that's all about. But anyway, yeah, so I'm not a guy that likes the, you know, like the mushrooms and onions or anything on it. I like the, yeah, just the regular flavor, meat flavor.
A little salt, okay. Little pepper, good to go.
Yeah.
Little salt
and pepper, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Occasionally I like to do the barbecue, you know, with the barbecue sauce on it, but most of the time I just like it to just be regular.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, let me start with this steak segment. Okay. I like my steak medium and I can do medium rare. Now, I know that, you know, some folks here might say that, what I consider to be medium rare, some people might say might be a little bit more done. It's yeah, blonde. I like to see red, in my steak.
You're lying to all of us.
Oh my God! You know, I just had Faith over my house actually, and we had some really great steak that I cooked.
Very beautiful steak.
Yes. And I, you know, and we sat and we ate and we were, you know, cause we've had, me and Faith have had, you know, kind of steak debacles where, you know, she's claimed that she likes steak one way. And clearly from what it was not that way. Like, you know, she likes to put that stuff on me.
What do you mean? You barely cooked my steak and I ate the entire thing. Best steak of my life.
I'm just saying. Now, you know, I just want to move the audience over to, okay, folks, you know, we have this thing where we talk about Keanu Reeves and here's what I'm going to say. and this is my position. Keanu Reeves is a fantastic actor and a fantastic person. And, you know, I've had to defend this position multiple times against my colleagues who just seem not to appreciate the range that Keanu Reeves has in his acting career. This man has had The Matrix on his back and made millions and millions of dollars. And apparently, blockbuster numbers don't mean anything to these heathens on my dais.
The Trolls movie made millions of dollars as well. Oh, just to point out.
I was not done. Thank you very much. Keanu Reeves is excellent and fantastic. And I'm going to turn it over to Amanda for her thoughts on Keanu Reeves, even though I know that, you know, this day is biased and these people have no class and taste. in acting. All right.
Well, okay. Let's take a second to say that no one liked The Matrix for Keanu's acting. It was the writing and the story.
Oh, my God. Because
he was like, what? Totally.
My God.
Red pill. Hey, stop.
I know Kung Fu.
The disrespect in here is palpable.
Kung Fu? He was basically just Bill and Ted his entire career. I think that was
You know what?
That guy. He's a good person, but his range is just sleepy. He's just, huh? Totally. Oh,
my goodness. I cannot. Faith, please go ahead and get it out of the way because I know what you're going to say.
I think Keanu, as a person, is a beautiful, sweet angel sent from heaven above. There are literally on the internet hundreds of stories of him just being the chillest dude ever. Like people who are traveling and they're just like, Keanu Reeves was on my flight and like our flight got delayed, so he bought us all dinner. Like, super cool dude.
The best dude.
The best dude.
This guy takes a pay cut.
The world's okayest actor.
Oh my God.
Like the world's okayest actor. I mean, like, James likes to quote Point Break as being like one of his like fantastic masterpieces.
Oh my God. It was one of the greatest movies ever made.
James, you have to realize that that movie is literally like the standard for bad acting.
Oh my
God. It's made fun of for bad acting.
Anyway.
I am an FBI agent.
Anyway, John.
Well, you know, I will admit that I think Keanu Reeves is former President Donald Trump's favorite actor.
Oh, no,
but
no,
also, no. Trump liked his steak well done and with ketchup. So there's that.
Mm.
See how I brought it back around?
That I wasn't going to come that hard. Circle.
See, you know
I wasn't
going
to come that hard.
You know, as we close out this segment, I just want to point out a couple of things. You know, Keanu Reeves has taken pay cuts so that his production companies and his movies, so that the other actors get equitable pay.
Great guy. You
know, fantastic guy.
No one's arguing.
No one's saying he's not a great guy. Just everybody knows he's
laser the same person that are interesting.
Far as range is concerned, let me tell you something. Actors like Leonardo DiCaprio or Matthew McConaughey. And these are great actors, by the way. I'm not taking that. These folks, Jim Carrey, these folks play generally the same range of characters in their movies. Steve Carell, same characters in his movies. And I just think that it's highly unfair that you heathens will leverage that attitude towards Keanu Reeves when all the other actors do it. But you know what?
No, I get it.
Someone has to bear the cross. Someone has to take these lashings from you people. And
you're saying comedians who have range, Jim Carrey and Steve Carell have played serious roles and tugged at things and made us cry. Keanu just plays the same sleepy.
Oh my goodness.
Always.
Also like Leonardo DiCaprio, like I don't know how you think he doesn't have range. Like The Revenant.
The best thing that man did.
Gilbert Grape. I mean.
Oh my God. The best thing that man did was get ravaged by a bear. Okay. I don't even.
What's the best thing Keanu did?
Save America. America.
What hill to die on? I swear to gosh.
Goodness.
And he saved a bus with Sandra Bullock, and that has to count for something. Folks, you're listening to The Rogue Apostle Show. I'm James.
I'm John.
I'm Amanda Lynn Deal.
And I'm Faith.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.